Holly Roberts.
Good morning, friends. Happy Friday. It is Jason and Alexis in the morning, April 5th. My Talk 107.1. I'm Alexis Thompson. Holly Roberts.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Ellie. Hey, girl. Hey.
Coming in hot with the chicken noise.
Yeah, man. That rooster is ready to go. A little worried. Like, whoa. Hey. And it's a little sick one at the end, too. I don't know if anyone else's allergies are acting up, but whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I am there. Wowzers.
Mm-hmm.
Jason's off today, and we've got some stuff that we're celebrating, don't we, Holly?
Oh, we sure do. Today is Bell Bottoms Day.
Mm.
Alexis,
you're
it's
back.
First Contact Day.
Oh.
Nanu, nanu.
I don't know
nanu,
what you're talking
first
about.
First Contact
no
Day. Have your
Papa,
people.
Can you hear me? I've been here forever.
Get me off this rock. Go for Broke Day. It's Hospital Admitting Clerks Day.
Ooh.
National Caramel Day. National Dandelion Day.
Mm.
National Deep Dish Pizza Day. National Flash Drive Day. Ooh, this sounds nasty. National Raisin and Spice Bar Day.
You think that sounds nasty?
That sounds nasty as all get out. National,
I'll take a piece.
Ew, I'll see you in 3 hours. National, if you know
or
what I mean.
Or not.
National
I might be running home.
National Walk to Work Day.
Oh, it is? Oh, my gosh. Imagine.
Oh, well.
We'll see you in 4 hours.
Read a Roadmap Day, Student Government Day, and it's time for your delicious
yes.
cup of coffee. Mm. Cheers, ladies.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh, yeah. We need life juice today. We were all really looking, you know, for the coffee. Just trying to figure it out.
And it's like, guys, it's in the same place that it's always been.
True.
For years.
And the water.
And the water.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. We don't have any jugs of water here. Like, water, water.
What are we doing? I think it might be the promotions crew because they're on this kick. You know, the water fountain out in the hall counts how many, like, how we're saving the world, basically. It'll be like, this is how many plastic jugs we've saved. And so every time they're keeping track of, oh
so you're talking
gallons.
Our promotions department. You're talking about
oh,
Brooke and Jess.
Yes, right. Our actual department here of promotions. Yes. They keep track of that.
Well, good. I'm glad that I could add to their count this
there you
morning.
Go. We've added to the count. We're saving plastic bottles for
yay!
Sure. Wow, it was a big day yesterday. Well, just for the city, especially baseball fans. It was the Twins opener, and they lost.
You Minnesota!
Oh, yay! Oh, man! 4-2. The Cleveland Guardians won. And then, of course, they're here this weekend. So today they're off. Saturday and Sunday, they're playing again at 1:10. So did you guys have a little FOMO or?
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
Just a little bit because it was really the crystal blue sky last night.
Yes.
It was, and I was like, well, I would have had to have brought a blanket and a winter coat.
Right.
Because that's how I roll. I would have had to have camped in order to watch the Twins last night. But it felt like spring.
Yes.
Legitimate spring for the first time last night.
Yeah.
And that made me happy. And apparently, all of our faces are on fire. That is also a sign of legitimate spring.
True. Where's the allergy pills?
Where's the allergies pills?
I already popped one today, so hopefully that kicks in soon.
Ellie, do you have allergies too?
Yeah, and I have been keeping up my girlfriend in the middle of the night with like snuffling and going.
Sorry, I can't breathe.
Yeah, like,
I get it if you want to sleep on the couch.
I've been breathing through my mouth for 2 straight hours.
Oh. So it's just a delight to be, be with you right now.
But oh, yeah. But sure, we're all in the same boat.
Oh, we are all in the same boat.
Gosh. Oh, so it was really fun to see everyone's pictures on it, you know, wherever they're sharing them. Grant was there last night or yesterday, so I'm sure he'll share that on LoJ today. But, oh, man. Yeah, I hope to get to a game, but we need basketball to end first. You know, I kind of am like, all right, we're over here. And then yeah.
Well, we still have hockey, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's
everything
going on, too,
overlapping.
Right now. Yeah, that's right.
What the only thing that's not happening right now is football.
True.
This is my favorite.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So you're right. I don't understand baseball.
That, it is not meant to be understood.
It's meant to be drank.
Yes. And snack time. There's lots of great food we all want to try over there. Oh, yeah. So the brats, right?
Ooh, that was a big one. The Union Mung Kitchen brats.
Yummy.
Oh, yummy brats. Oh.
That sounds so good with the crowd on top.
And, oh, yeah. Oh.
Yes. Well, we also have some food celebration, too, because we have two Minnesota chefs who are now finalists for James Beard Awards. I know, it's pretty cool, right? So, yep, this year's a finalist. They narrowed down the list of seven semifinalists to, we've got, let's see here, I just want to make sure I've got this here. The finalists for the Best Chef Midwest category, Ann Ahmed of Kaluna, in Minneapolis, and Christina Wen of Hi Hi in Minneapolis. So, both fantastic restaurants. And for Anne, this is her second nomination. And for Christina, it is her fifth time being nominated. So, lots of celebration.
We also had a restaurant named locally.
Ah, yes. What was that one?
Oro by Nixta.
Aura.
Oh, Oro. And have you been, Ellie?
You know, I haven't been to their new, like, restaurant, but I used to work for Animales, the food truck and barbecue company, ooh, and they source their tortillas from Nixta. So I've had many a Nixta tortilla taco, and oh my God, it is different.
Ooh, different hell. Ooh, that sounds very, that could be Minnesota different.
No, they're fantastic. They're fantastic. Right. It's like truly like sourced masa. So they're super flavorful. Like you get like a super rich corn flavor from their tortillas. Yeah, they're pretty incredible.
Okay, well, I can see why. We all need to head over there.
Oh, yeah.
Try it out. June 10th is the ceremony in Chicago. So hopefully, yeah, we'll have some more James Beard winners here. So that's exciting. Very cool. Woo-hoo! Minnesota news, baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And today we have a special WTF weekly trivia face-off, 8:30 as always on Fridays. We're going to be doing food-related junk food.
Yeah.
And our husbands. Now, yes. I've told on hell, do not be in a Starbucks where people will be walking in and out. You hear the coffee grinding. Do not do that.
You know, the espresso, the steam milk happens. Yeah, so like, the last time that we invited our significant others to be the opponents in weekly trivia face-off, I was like, oh, okay. Why don't we get on hell and Chip? All right, so they're going to be a team. Mm-hmm. And then Angel, you know, he dials in behind the scenes. We provide a link, blah, blah, blah. And then he's sitting in a coffee shop.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, because this is going through my mind, Alexis, when I'm trying to beam him up. I'm like, well, okay, he's sitting out in public right, playing this one. Does he want to be sitting out in public playing this?
Yeah, valid question.
Is that advice? Because things get a little intense.
Sure does.
And two, this is going to get noisy. And then sure enough, when the game started to play,
oh my gosh,
you could hear someone putting in their order for an iced latte and a blueberry muffin, and those beans were grinding, and it was like,
we got to walk in.
We got to let you go.
Yeah, we're like, get in your car and call us on the phone. Oh my, and what was the category? Because I remember it just being really difficult questions.
It was hard.
And poor Chip, like, he was so fun about it. He was like, what?
Yeah, he asked me yesterday, he's like, no, it's not going to be like the last time.
Yeah, no.
With the question, no, this is junk food. And
junk food.
It's going to be Alexis and Ellie.
Yes.
Versus Angel and Chip, because I got to run this game.
We know junk food, don't we, Ellie?
I mean, I certainly do.
Yeah. We're going to be great. Although I think they don't know it pretty well, too. So this will be really fun. That's at 8:30. Up next, as we always do, we're going to practice. So we will be doing that next when we come back. Hey, friends, Alexis for David and the team at First Equity. Actually going to see David today. We've got some new spots to record, so you'll be hearing those shortly. And, of course, it's always good to catch up and see what's going on in the mortgage world. And all I know for sure is that who's got it going on? That's First Equity. And of course, they can help with any type of mortgage, conventional, FHA, VA, first-time home buyer. They're independent, so you get that personalized attention you need and deserve when you're making such an important and huge financial decision. So especially if you are looking to buy your first home, the best thing is to get pre-approved for a mortgage. So shop for a mortgage before you shop for a home. You're ready to go. You know what's going to happen when. And for a seller, it's
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Pretty sweet to go, hey, this person's locked and loaded, ready to go, and it might be that edge over another buyer that you may need. And of course, refinancing too. 763-251-8000 or use my talk keyword. Say it with me. David! Jason and Alexis in the morning, my talk 1071. Welcome back. I'm Alexis, Holly, Ellie with you this morning. Jason's on vacation. Okay, so 8:30, we're doing our WTF, our weekly trivia face-off, and we're going up against our husbands. Well, it's Ellie and me against my husband and
Tip,
Holly's husband.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking junk food,
woo-hoo!
And, you know, we need to do a little practice round, so we're ready to go, get our mind going. Okay, Ellie, you know, just get in the junk food mindset. Although
just
it doesn't take much, right? I know. I just need to wake up, and we're ready to go. So you got some questions for us, Holly?
Sure do. Now, this is a mix. I will say these practice round questions. You know, it's a mix of fast food restaurant and junk food, which is kind of what I, you know, that's your hint, is that, you know, it's all swirled in there.
Ooh, so there's fast food too.
I mean, basically, we're not asking you questions about carrots this morning.
It's all swirled in there.
Yeah, it's all swirled in there.
Unless they're covered in sugar.
Exactly.
And
all right,
fried on a stick.
Alexis and Ellie, here's your first practice question for this morning's WTF Weekly Trivia Face-Off, powered by Trivia Mafia. And we're doing junk food this morning. And I'm going to ask you this first question.
Okay.
What fast food restaurant is credited with introducing the first modern-day drive-through window?
Drive-through modern, is it like, could it be Arby's?
That McDonald's. Doesn't sound right.
Burger King.
Oh. No, Taco Place.
Taco Bell.
Del Taco.
Del Taco, final answer.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Oh, man. Oh,
buzz for you. It's actually Wendy's.
Weird.
Oh, Wendy's.
Fun fact.
Trivia.
Good old Dave, man, getting it done.
I found a womp.
Oh, yeah, please, if you've got a ding and a womp womp, Ellie, use them.
I've got donkeys and bears.
Well, all right, great. You get it right, let that eagle call, girl.
Oh,
all right, so Alexis and Ellie, more fast food questions. Where was the first Pizza Hut built? Where was the first Pizza Hut built?
Is it Atlanta? Why am I feeling
completely out of
love? Like I'm feeling really strong Atlanta or Georgia vibes.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we looking for a state or a city?
A city. I would accept either.
Roman city state.
Let's just say Georgia. Final, it might not be Atlanta.
Final answer?
Is it Missouri? Okay. Let's go with the instinct of Georgia.
Ellie, give a womp womp.
Oh. And we get a donkey.
Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, man.
I wasn't going to get that.
Wichita, Kansas. Remember Pizza Hut. Wichita, Kansas, the home of Pizza Hut and private planes.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza
Hut. Yeah.
Yes.
Where is that combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell? Here's another question for you.
Oh, man, I was feeling so good before this.
No, dang.
Okay.
Let's move on to this. Who is considered the inventor of soft serve ice cream? I'm going to give you some options here.
Okay, thank you.
Alexis and Ellie. A, Tom Carville. B, Burt Baskin. C, Irv Robbins. Or D, Jerry Greenfield.
Okay, what's the
Carvel guy?
No. Is that what you're feeling? You're feeling that strong vibes?
That's a kind of ice cream.
Which was old? You know, we're going with a Carvel. Final answer.
All right. Alexis, give an eagle call because Ellie is right.
Hey. Awesome.
Hey!
Yes. <Three. laughs> We don't have Carvel ice cream shops in Minnesota, but they're all along the east coast of the United States.
I knew it was like an old ice cream brand.
It was older.
Yeah, it's the home of Fudgy the Whale.
Yes.
And Cookie Puss.
Oh my gosh, those are so good.
Things I've heard of and never had.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. Mm.
So good.
Oh.
When I was a Jersey girl, that every birthday party had at least one or two of those.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You either had a Fudgy or a Cookie Puss.
Or both.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you were fancy like that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing pretty well. Like, here's another question.
Are we?
Hey.
I mean, we're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing great. We're practicing for weekly trivia face-off. Let's just say this.
Okay.
You guys are doing great, and you have time to practice. Angel and Chip are probably... I mean, I can speak for my significant other.
Yeah.
He's probably not even awake
They're
right
sleeping
now.
Same. It's 6:21. Yeah.
He saw him long. He's like...
Right.
So we're ahead of the curve.
Ugh, and we're practicing. Yeah.
Alexis, Ellie, here's your next question. What was the first commercially available soft drink in the United States? Now, I will give you multiple choice again.
Dr. Pepper?
Nope, beer.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well.
It's one of us is right.
Mm-hmm.
The way you've stopped.
Root beer.
The way. Is it root beer?
Is it root beer?
Final answer, root beer.
Ooh, give yourself a donkey because you should have gone with Alexis's instinct. It's Dr. Pepper.
Really?
Yeah, was the first commercially available soft drink. It was created in the 1880s by a pharmacist named Charles Alderton in Waco, Texas. And it was originally called Waco. Then it was called Dr. Pepper.
Oh, what is the flavor of Dr. Pepper?
23 flavors, right?
Yeah, or that's 32? Right. 23.
Oh, it is 23. I was like, is it 23?
Baskin Robbins is 31.
That's I'm going to get my butt kicked.
What is in Dr. Pepper? It's like secret, right? They've always said that.
Well, yeah, of course. They're not going to give it away.
They're not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
Except those beans.
Yeah. Instead of it being like General Thunder, isn't that like the knockoff that they sell at Walmart?
Yeah.
or General Thunder?
Or no, that's what is it? Mountain Thunder?
No, that's Ron Jeremy's coworker.
Oh! Where's a high? Give yourself a high hat, Ellie. Can you find it?
You get a whale.
High hat?
Oh, the joke.
Yeah. That is sheep.
Yeah, you get that. I mean, we've just got barnyard animals for your
contributions.
Yeah, they're just pulling out each animal out.
I mean, that's what she said.
They get a moment.
All right. Here's some more questions for you guys. Here we go. And want to make sure. Nope. Okay. Want to make sure that we're not crossing the streams here because, you know, sometimes there might be a question that overlaps.
Like which ones?
Well, I'm not telling you.
I tried, Ellie.
All right, guys, we have time for maybe one or two more questions. We're practicing junk food trivia here.
Okay.
Alexis and Ellie
are
going to play this morning at 8:30. Here's your next question. What mid-1980s McDonald's item came in a double container? A double container.
Like a wrap and a box?
Well, not just like a box. But then on one side of the box, it had one thing. And then on the other side of the box, it had other thing. It was really, really great for the environment.
Was it a salad pack thing? Like a mix-em-up salad?
Well, you're on the right track, Ellie.
Or a parfait?
I remember
McDonald's parfaits.
That was a
those are so good.
Kind of two thing? Those were delicious, yeah. Okay. So you're thinking salad, not like a burger, and a salad?
I'm thinking that maybe they had something where they separated like the veggies and like the sandwich to keep the veggies fresh.
Right.
That seems like a mid-1980s McDonald's.
Oh, you're onto something. What was that called? Double burger split up.
The garden burger.
And that's when Alexis was fired from the marketing team at McDonald's. The McDLT.
Oh,
no! Give yourself an eagle call for that.
I mean, was I right enough?
Yes, Ellie, you were right enough. I'm like, you know the concept. So close.
It's an acronym, right?
I don't know, Alexis.
I'll Google.
What it did, there was a commercial. starring Jason Alexander pre-Seinfeld, dancing in the street, singing about how the cool lettuce was on one side and then the hot burger was on the other.
That's right.
And it was made with a styrofoam container. I bet if you dug in a landfill enough, you would find a McDLT box.
I think so.
There you go.
Okay, it's McDonald's lettuce and tomato.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked good. Yummy.
Yeah, it sure did. I wonder if that's going to make a comeback at some point.
Probably not.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Jace for my family and friends at MSP, the number one airport on list after list. Okay, spring break goes until the end, well, a couple more weeks, and MSP is busy, busy, busy. So make it easy on yourself and reserve your spot ahead of time in the parking ramp. You can do that, MSPairport.com. You can reserve your space ahead of time in the security line, in the TSA line. And once you're there, take advantage, get there early, take advantage of everything that MSP has to offer. Great, great local finds. I love that they curate the restaurants and shops to make just the right combo of national brands and local brands. Local brands like T-Rex Cookies, Soul Food, and shops like Legends of the North in Terminal 1. And another great restaurant, The Cook and the Ox at Steakhouse. Oh, it's so good. Get there early and you'll discover why from ticketing to takeoff, they're the best.
Quiet on set. It's Jason and Alexis in the morning. My Talk 107.1. Happy Friday, everyone. It's April 5th. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Alexis, Holly, and Ellie with you this morning. Jace is on vacation. And Holly, I saw this. I immediately thought of you because I know you've watched Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
Yeah.
It is a docuseries on Max. I think there's four episodes, right?
Four episodes, and a fifth is going to be released in the upcoming weeks, a follow-up episode to Quiet on Set.
Ah, makes sense. And one of the hosts who appeared in, well, briefly, I guess, and I don't know how brief it was. I have not watched yet. I need to mentally prepare, and I'm still doing that.
Take your time.
Oh, man.
Sometimes with things like these, it's best to take in the report of the report.
Yeah.
It's a heavy topic.
Like filtered through you at this point. Exactly. Well, Mark Summers, he appeared briefly on Quiet on the Set, and now he is saying that producers ambushed him into answering questions about abuse at Nickelodeon. So much, he was so caught off guard that he got up and left the set. Did they mention that at all in the series? And did you even see him at all? Like, how brief was his appearance?
Well, Alexis, they didn't mention that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have been able to tell.
Okay.
However, now knowing what Mark Summers, his experience on Quiet on Set, I can see that probably to be true. Because Mark Summers is only in the first episode of Quiet on Set.
Okay.
And he comments about his time on Nickelodeon. He was host Double Dare and a show called What Would You Do in the late 80s and early 90s.
Shows we all wanted to be on, right?
Oh, girl. Oh, sidebar. Yes. I went to Universal Studios in elementary school when Nickelodeon Studios was still operational, and I got to play a game on the Nickelodeon soundstage where I flung rubber chickens into giant clown pants that my aunt wore.
What? Yes! With like a hula hoop?
Yes!
And she got to catch him?
Yeah.
Oh, how thrilling was that?
It was like a highlight of my life.
I bet.
It's a core memory.
How'd you do? Did you win? Did you go home with a prize?
Or? I don't remember.
Okay.
You won because you got to throw the chickens.
I got to
Ellie, I got to throw and fling rubber chickens into clown pants.
At your aunt's.
I wrote in to be on Temple of Doom 5 years after it was off the air.
Oh, Ellie.
5 years. Oh, no.
I remember I wrote that in. I bought the postage and I sent it in.
Oh. Did you know it was over or were you just watching reruns? Or
I was watching reruns. I don't think I got it. And my mom, like, told me, like, after that when I was watching the show, and I was like, I wrote in and they haven't gotten back to me. She's like, oh, honey, that show's not on anymore.
Oh, yeah. So this was the golden age of Nickelodeon game shows. Double
sure
Dare. You know, like Ellie said, Legends of the Hidden Temple. There was Guts. There was Wild and Crazy Kids. I mean, there are all these game shows that were super fun.
Yeah.
And Mark Summers hosted Double Dare.
Yeah, so he was mainstay for sure. He was everywhere.
Yeah, so he was talking about his time working on Nickelodeon very briefly. You know, it's kind of like setting the stage in that first episode and giving a little bit of context. And then the only other time he's in the docuseries is in that first episode, and somebody hands him a phone. And they say, did you know that this was on Nickelodeon? And I'm paraphrasing because I haven't watched it in a couple weeks.
Right.
And they show one of those scenes from Sam and Cat with Ariana Grande.
Was this the potato?
Well, it's the potato. And then there's also a scene where she's lying on the bed and her head back and she's pouring water. Not appropriate. And he's shocked to look at this. He's like, what? I had no idea. And so I can see where Mark Summers in this interview was like, I was ambushed and not told exactly where this interview was going to be going. Meaning, he was more than willing to talk about his time on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, he's thinking, oh, this is nostalgia?
Yeah, nostalgia.
Ooh, how fun. Exactly. I got slimed.
Yeah, we got slime. We've got all that kind of stuff. On what would you, you pick that giant nose and you get that orange flag.
Yeah.
You pick it and get that orange flag. But Mark Summers, you know, in this interview with Elvis Duran, he pointed out, he's like, I wasn't at Nickelodeon when all of this stuff, when Dan Schneider was working with the network.
He didn't know Dan.
He didn't know Dan. He didn't work with him. It was a completely different culture. He was working with a different set of people. And so I can understand why Mark Summers walked off the set. He doesn't have anything to contribute to this conversation.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a gotcha moment. I mean, when you see that footage out of context, which I will say, the Nickelodeon that I was attuned to was the Mark Summers version of Nickelodeon. And by the time Dan Schneider took over with all that and the Amanda Show, that wasn't really my time. I had moved on from Nickelodeon.
It was mine. It was entirely mine.
Okay. So, yeah. Ellie, have you watched Quiet on Set?
Yeah. It was really hard to watch. That is my entire childhood. Yeah. Like, I started, my first show I loved was The Amanda Show. Mm. I wasn't quite old enough for all that. I started at The Amanda Show, fell in love with it, and watched every single one of those shows.
Wow. So it seeing sucked. That. So, do you remember some of those scenes?
Yeah, I do. And out of context, it makes me feel icky.
Yeah.
And I sympathize for Mark Summers because if someone called me in for an interview and then put a cell phone in my face and said, hey, does this look like child abuse? I'd drop everything and run
You'd
out the door.
Right. You're like, yeah. I just was here to talk about how candy's made.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, yeah. I don't have an opinion. Leave me alone.
No. Okay, yeah, but if you are Mark Summers, guys, and they did say, hey, we are going to be showing you some pre-interview and said, hey, we're going to be showing you some things. We know it wasn't your time, but we are going to ask for your reaction. Would you show up for the interview at all?
No. Because what would you, as Mark Summers, have to add or to contribute to this conversation? This is a conversation that doesn't include me. I have nothing to offer you. If you want my reaction to it just as being shocked, then that's a little sensational. And what kind of documentary? It would make me question, what kind of documentary are you really making?
Right. And to show him leaving probably wouldn't have made a difference either.
No.
Because he wasn't even, the subject of it. Because that's what I was thinking. Like, should they have shown that?
Yeah. Now, Mark Summers, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Mark Summers and his appearance in the docuseries Quiet on Set that you can watch on Max right now. And
feeling ambushed and just leaving the interview, which now it makes sense.
Right. And he's just like, it made it seem the way that he's interpreting his participation in this docuseries. He's like, it made it seem like I knew these people. And he's like, I never met any of them. He knew Kenan Thompson from Kenan and Kel.
Okay.
Which was a spinoff of All That. So around the time of The Amanda Show. But he's like, and we've done stuff together because they're still both in showbiz over the decades. Now, apparently, Mark Summers might be calling the producers of this docuseries maybe to get him out of it, just to edit it out.
He wants to be done altogether.
He was asked in this interview if there's anything that they can do about it now. He responded, well, there's a phone call coming today at 3:00. So clearly, Mark's people are calling the people of Quiet on Set, and we'll see whether or not they edit it out. However, at this point,
just
leave it. It's fine. It's such a minor thing. And
that's what I was wondering, if he was a criminal person in this. No.
Right. Now, going back to these Nickelodeon series that were talked about on Quiet on Set. So, Ellie, when you were watching these in real time as a kid, did these scenes seem excessive or were you catching on to the subtext at all?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a hard question to answer how you consume media when you're, 10 to 13. But I will say, like, a lot of this stuff was posted when it came out on, like, Paramount Plus launch and streaming. I remember I subscribed to that because I was like, oh, they have all my old favorite things from Wild Thornberries to iCarly. And I rewatched some of that stuff. And you rewatch it and you're kind of like, that plays a little funny. And, like, why is this a storyline? And you critique it. But no, I can't say that I was watching this and going like, oh my God, this is the creepiest thing in the world. Because
it goes over your head, right?
And there was also this culture that the comedy at the time was supposed to be about randomness. And it felt like they used randomness as an excuse for things other people wanted to do that you as a kid, like, it didn't occur to me that anyone would want to see my feet. Like, you just thought it was funny that they, like, feet are funny. We're kids. It's random.
But it's not a fetish.
We also
whatever.
Have chicken hats, and the chicken hat's like a big thing, but no one's talking about that because it's not as grabby. But that's the thing I'm saying is that a lot of the stuff was disguised under the comedy of randomness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we all participated too. I mean, you really think there's a lot of things we look back at and go, whoa, how did we think that was okay?
Right. But then, you know, on watching this, Ellie, before watching Quiet on Set, you were watching reruns independently. And then as an adult, you picked up on these things?
Yeah. Kind of. Less of, like, the stuff they're picking up on that looks super creepy when you take it entirely out of context.
Mm-hmm.
But more like, why did we have this scene, like, the Gibby stuff in iCarly? Why is there, like, a shirtless chubby kid? And why is that the joke? And it takes you 3 seasons to kind of realize it's not really funny and to make him a character.
Mm.
The dating that they kind of shoehorn into the show in random episodes always felt really weird, and like they went heavy on it when they decided to, which is an interesting vibe when I was like rewatching some of those episodes. And maybe because at that point I had known more about Jeanette McCurdy's experience on the show, I felt bad because she went from being like my favorite character, someone I kind of looked up to as like a tomboy, to, oh, you're really going through it, and this is a forced image, and this sucks for you. That's a bummer. That was hard to kind of like rewatch and be like, oh, I see this character I thought was so strong as a kid in an entirely different light. Also, those costumes are just atrocious. And I don't know how anyone costuming them in 2010 thought they should be wearing what they were wearing. It's hilarious.
And so what are they wearing?
Layers upon layers of different things. A sweater vest, crop top over a t-shirt on top of a long sleeve shirt with chunky plastic costume jewelry over top of it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Hey,
yeah,
wearing dresses over jeans was a fashion statement.
There's so many skirts over jeans.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going the opposite direction of like, not enough, you know, like threads.
No, if anything, it's like, they never look like they're like super covered up, but they have at least 8 items of clothing, not including accessories, on at any given time.
Hey, how else are you going to wear your long dress and a tiny vest at the same time?
Amen.
You have to put it all on.
Put it on.
Well, hey, this bonus episode of Quiet on Set.
Yeah, when's that coming?
April 7th, so this Sunday.
Okay.
It will launch on ID, and then it will, you know, stream on Max on April 7th. So you'll be able to watch this Breaking the Silence special. So it's going to be anchored by Soledad O'Brien. I think it's going to be more of a roundtable discussion, and they're going to have additional interviews to give some more context and the aftermath of Quiet on Set.
Wow, fascinating. Okay. Well, there's time for us who haven't watched it to catch up if we need to. Or we might just skip and go straight to the special.
That's right.
We'll see. We'll see how we're feeling. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, Rebel Wilson is talking Hollywood money.
Hey, everybody. It's Jace from my family at Skin Rejuvenation Clinic. New month, new specials. You are going to love the special in the month of April. If you have always thought about doing Botox, this is the month, because Botox, now let me explain this. Botox is a brand and Dysport is a brand. Both. I've had both. My friends have had both. I like things about both of them. Both are on special. So let's talk Botox first. You're going to get 10 free units of Botox in the month of April when you do 48 units. And that's a good amount. That's a really good amount. Let's talk Dysport. If you're going to get 25 units of Dysport free when you do 120 units, that is a tremendous deal. So no matter what brand you go with, huge savings. So before your summer vacation, get into Skin Rejuvenation Clinic. This sale will be over at the end of April. They don't repeat these. Call Skin Rejuvenation Clinic and mention me.
Ooh, this weekend I'll be listening to this more. The whole album in a loop.
Because you can. It's continuous like that.
That's pretty awesome, of course. Back with Beyonce. It's Jason and Alexis in the morning. My Talk 107.1. Alexis, Holly, and Ellie with you this morning. And wow, speaking of like speaking your truth, we've got Quiet on Set, which we just talked about. Fascinating conversation. Ellie, thank you for just, you know, being young and like, having some context for some of these shows. Because, I mean, we're back to like sliming and, you know, maybe a little bit of Kenan and Cal, but otherwise, I didn't watch much Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's fascinating when you're talking about these things from childhood, what a difference just a year or two makes.
Yeah.
Because just in your age and your development and what you're into, because so Alexis,
we had moved on by then.
You
yeah.
had moved on. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of all that and
right.
a smidge of Kenan and Kel.
Yep.
And then I was out. And then in comes Ellie watching the whole Dan Schneider extended universe of Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah. Yep. But you're absolutely right, though, because my siblings are 4 and 6 years younger than me and they were all with you, Ellie. So. Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You're exactly right when it comes to like those singular years start to separate yeah. the culture you consume, which is like pretty funny because I remember even a lot of people my age didn't even quite see the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
Because that was even like a little older for me, but I had that comedy at the time and I was like seeking that stuff out.
Yeah.
But yeah, those couple years difference. And then now with all this stuff about Dan Schneider coming out, it does feel like a little bit of a punch to the gut to like my favorite shows as a child.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, okay.
Oh, it wasn't as I thought.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Well, maybe we can bring back the show Guts or Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, I would love to see Legends
Hosted
of the Hidden Temple.
By Mark
Temple
Summers.
Or what? Oh gosh. Nick Arcade was one I really wanted to be on. It was where they had kids in front. If you made it to the final level of Nick Arcade, you got to play a video game, quote unquote. So you would be, I bet you were in front of a green screen and you were tapping things.
Oh, fun.
And you got to be inside a video game.
Ooh.
So desperate to do that.
Height of 90s fantasy.
Oh, man. Yeah, we didn't experience any of that. I think we had Star Search. I was like, what kind of reality kind of game did we have? Oh. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. But then, Gladiator.
American Gladiators?
American Gladiators.
Well, which the kids' version was Guts.
That was the Guts version.
Yeah, where in the final round you climbed, the Magno Crag or something like that. There was a giant styrofoam mountain.
Yeah.
That you had to climb. Now, that would have probably, that one probably wouldn't have been, you know, the one for me to try out for because I was more, you know, rocking the couch those days.
And
would have gotten a little winded. But if it was American Gladiator, I was literally twice the size, both latitude and longitude than any of the other kids in my grade. I was a beast.
Oh.
I would have taken them on.
Oh, yes. I always wanted to be on that show.
Yeah.
For the same reasons. It's just like, ready.
I'm going to smack you with this styrofoam thing.
Watch out and watch my legs just working that little roller thing in the water. Ooh, I can move. I can move.
Well, dreams.
Dreams. And maybe one day, but I would not be anywhere near qualified. Oh, back in the day. Well, speaking of back in the day and speaking your truth, Rebel Wilson, she's been revealing a lot in her book about losing her virginity at 35.
Oh, yeah.
About, of course, you know, just Sacha Baron Cohen and how she was treated and felt on set with him. And now she's also talking about how her salary jumped from project to project and, you know, just Bridesmaids is what we really all know her from, right?
Right. So Rebel Wilson, her memoir, Rebel Rising, released on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we're getting little dribs and drabs, report of the report, because that's what we like around here.
Sure do.
Cliff notes. Yeah. She said she was only paid $3,500 for her appearance in Bridesmaids.
Whoa.
$3,500. Now,
That feels incredibly low.
But she was no one.
Right.
She was.
Well, to Ellie's point, Rebel knew she was kind of a no one.
Yeah.
And the reason she took this job is because then she would qualify for the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
And she joined the union after that. And she knew as an actor, and particularly an actor from Australia, that if she was in the union, it would open doors for her career. So she was willing to make that sacrifice.
And kind of base or standards for salary. It was not really salaries, but yeah, like standards for what you would get for projects.
Exactly. Now, she moved on the following year to Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And she said for the first movie, she was paid SAG minimum scale, which was $65,000 at the time for her participation in the movie.
Okay.
However, the success of that movie, she was able to leverage that because she was paid ultimately for Pitch Perfect 3, $10 million.
Wow. Get it, girl. Get it.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, she's a lawyer.
Yes.
So she was saying, look, I used my lawyering. My tactics,
my powers of negotiation,
to get that. And she proved that she and absolutely memorable, most memorable character of Pitch Perfect. So, yeah, by three, it's like, yeah, show me the money.
Yes, exactly. Well, and she reveals that at the end of filming Pitch Perfect 2, the producers told some of the older girls that they wouldn't be featured in Pitch Perfect 3. And that they were going to be replaced with younger actors. And they were like, I don't think so. And Wilson was able to negotiate not only a higher salary for her, but for everybody else. But she said that she was the highest paid person on Pitch Perfect 3. Not only did she keep her job, but she was able to negotiate the highest salary of any of the actors on that film.
Wow. Again. Get it.
Get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So all of these like drips and drabs that have been coming from her book, are we feeling compelled to read it or do we feel like we know everything now?
I feel like they've published the whole thing. It's the Cliff's Notes.
Right.
You went into the teacher's closet. You got the secret key. You opened the drawer and you found Rebel Rising next to the Cliff Notes to of Mice and Men. Okay, so there it is.
Narnia. It's like we got the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
What?
We got it all.
But I'm sure there's more juicy details. You can read Rebel Rising right now.
Yeah, I bet there are. Yeah, let's hope. They save a little bit, some goodies.
Yeah.
When we come back, are you obsessed with the solar eclipse as I am? Will you be making your weekend finding those glasses? And also, we have a puppy update.
Yay!
It's all next on My Talk 107.1. JTR Roofing, JTRRoofingInc.com. Yes, roofing is in the name, and of course, they can help. If you've got some storm damage, if you know that there's just issues under the shingles, they will help you. Also, other exterior projects as well they can help with. Your soffit and fascia, your gutters, windows, decking, JTR Roofing, they can help. And now's a great time to get a head start on those spring projects by having them out for an estimate today. Of course, they can do multi-bids if you have multiple projects, and they can work on multiple projects at once. So, of course, it's less time, less stress, and you can get back to life. Because, wow, sometimes those exterior projects, they can just take over, can't they? Well, make sure you mention me or My Talk when you call them. You can save up to $1,000 on roofing, siding, or gutters. Yep, $1,000. And, of course, they have a lot of experience working with insurance. They serve the Twin Cities and Western Wisconsin. Just head to JTRRoofingInc.com.